All right, everybody, it's that time. It's time for Living the Good Life right here in Clearwater, Florida. Coming to you from the studio live, Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I got some of my radio team members with me in the studio, and sometimes they're with me, and sometimes they're not, and so some of you that think we have a lot of radio team members, the answer to that is yes, we do, and we have Mike and Jen, brand new newlyweds here, that are part of the team now. They were on another Sunday a few weeks back. Mike, I believe you were here with your beautiful bride. Yep. And Dr. Angel's here with us too. She and I do the Thursday night Go Yard show. Dr. Angel, you want to just say something quick about that and what we're doing right now on Thursday night?
Sure. Thursday night radio show is a life coaching / counseling show, and we have been doing an amazing series of helping people cope through the calamity of COVID. We've been given lots of great tools and advice for people to use to kind of work on their self-esteem, work on their going through this together, and giving them tools to get through this more successfully.
Are you saying this is a great series?
I'm saying it's an amazing series.
So you are really congratulating us on how good it's going?
This has actually really been a great series, and I've had a lot of really positive feedback.
Oh my gosh, the Facebook count is going crazy. And so we really encourage you to go to our Go Yard page. If you have not found it on Facebook, go to Go Yard. And with Mama Mac, that's me, and you will find it and share it, and several hundred people have been listening, and we just did part four last Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on the station, so every Thursday night. This week will be part five, because the coping with the COVID calamity is so important that we really have some tools to help us, right?
Yes. I mean, this is something that nobody, you know, none of us alive have ever dealt with on any level. And so we just do not have a lot of great tools to get through, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. So Luke 24, yeah, for some of you that might want to grab your Bible and follow along here pretty soon, we're going to be in Luke 24 today. The title today is, Do You See Him? Do you see him? We're still in our Where Healing Happens series, and this, I think, is part 7 or part 8. I'd have to look at my notes. But we've been doing this series for a while, and it happened to come across Resurrection Day last week. And so we're going to be in Luke 24 and some other places, and really in the Word today, as we always are. What do we try to accomplish on these shows, Dr. Angel? And by the way, let me say this while she's thinking about that answer. That we are on youtube.com/tantalkradio/live right now. Okay, so you can go to youtube.com/tantalkradio/live, and you'll see those three beautiful people in the studio. You will not see me because I'm in the control room being controlling, right?
Yes,
running the controls, so you can't see me. There is a camera, but it does not work here for YouTube. So anyway, but I'm here, believe me, I'm here. And so we're excited about what God's going to do on the show today. What was the question I asked you? Do you remember?
Why do we do these shows?
Why do we do those shows? I was testing your memory, see if you remember.
I see that. And we do these shows to just, you know, help our listeners get that deeper relationship with God, help them make the relationship personal, and to help them understand God's word and who they are in him and who he is better, so that they can know him more.
Absolutely. And that's what the goal is always, is to know him better, right? And so we started in 07. Well, I think we're in our 13th year of, wait a minute. What's today?
This is April 19th.
This happens to be our anniversary. Because we began this show, Living the Good Life, on April 17th of 2007. So that means that we have actually done 3, 10, 13. We've already done 13. Well, this is our 13th anniversary. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's crazy. Really good. Very excited about that. So anyway, all right. And that just brings me to this first song, which is really one of my favorites. And you guys at Beacon never hear me say that, do you?
Never.
Never hear me say that something's one of my favorites?
Yeah.
You never hear it, do you? Yeah. Counting Every Blessing by Wren Collective. Let's count our blessings today. You say, in the midst of this corona catastrophe, yes, let's count our blessings.
I was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see.
So good.
I'll sing it loud.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you
dark.
Oh, you are good to me.
Lift your voices.
Oh, you are good to me.
All the time.
Oh, you are good to me.
Is he good? Is he our good, good father? We sang about that today at Beacon of Hope. He's our good, good father, and we're counting every blessing, and we hope you have some blessings that you're counting today, because God is good regardless of what is going on. Just heard from one listener that they were having a hard time with YouTube, but it should be okay. It's my settings. Everything looks okay in here. YouTube.com/TanTalkRadio/live if you want to catch it that way, or you can go right into the radio station website, Tantalk Network. That's the radio station website.com. You can also see those turkeys in there in the studio that way. So anyway, we're just glad they're with us today, Mike and his bride Jen and Dr. Angel. We're going to Luke chapter 24, and the title today is Do You See Him? Because I believe that a lot of people go through life not counting their blessings, not seeing God working in their lives, not realizing that it is God that is doing the things in their lives that are happening, and they're just almost blinded to God's work. Mike, do you want to comment? Let me get you guys all back on. Okay, there you go. I turn you off during songs in case you want to sing along, so then okay. I turn you back on, so go right ahead. So tell me about that. Don't you feel a lot of times we're blinded?
Yeah, we don't really see the presence of God unless he's working in your life and you know who he is.
Right.
And to recognize, you know that it's him.
Right.
Because he works behind the scenes.
He does. So often he works behind the scenes. And a lot of times he doesn't tap you on the shoulder and say, by the way, I did that. I did that. Exactly. I did that. He expects us to learn to figure out what he's doing in our lives, right?
Exactly.
Let's look at Luke 24, because it's the day that Jesus came out of the tomb. First day of the week, early dawn. The women went to the tomb. We know all about that. And now we're going to go over to verse 13 of Luke 24. That very day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus. This story is called The Road to Emmaus, and a lot of people, that's what they call it. We know that one of the guys' names was Cleopas, but we're not sure who the other one was. Some people think it was Luke himself who wrote this book. Not really sure, but it was one of that inner circle, or Cleopas is probably in that, outside of the 12, then there were 70 that were also a part of that circle around Jesus. But anyway, it's Cleopas and one other one of these. They were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. I find that interesting because seven's God's number, you know. And about 7 miles. So they had quite a journey, quite a walk. Let's say they walked 4 miles an hour, maybe. At least a few hours they were there walking. They probably didn't walk that fast to walk 4 miles an hour, so I'd say more like several hours. They were talking with each other and about all the things that had occurred. And while they were conversing and discussing together, Jesus himself caught up with them, was already accompanying them. Verse 16 of Luke 24, but their eyes were held, so they did not recognize him. I find this fascinating, Angel. Here's Jesus starts walking with these two guys walking on this road, and he knows what he's about to do and what he wants to accomplish, but they don't have any idea.
No, they do not. You know, I think they were so focused on their disappointment and
yes.
on their sorrow
yes.
and on what happened, and I don't think that they could even, their eyes weren't open to the fact that Jesus could have done what he said he was going to do.
And they had no idea this was Jesus walking with them. And in this way, he disguised himself. And I think that's interesting that he did that, because he did that when he first came out of the tomb earlier that day. Why do you think he did that, Mike? Why didn't he just have a sign on him that said, I'm Jesus, I'm risen from the dead?
Well, it wasn't normal for anyone to get up from the dead, number one.
Or to wear a sign.
And he had a mission to complete.
Yes.
And he was carrying out that mission.
Exactly.
And I think only the believers would have believed that it was him anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
At first, anyway.
Absolutely. Don't you think, Jen, there are times in our lives where God is working and we don't see him?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of times that we thought that it's our ability that make that happen.
Exactly.
But we don't recognize because we know that we're doing it. But if we're really know God, that we're going to acknowledge him in each and every blessings that we have.
That's right. That's why we started with counting every blessing.
Right.
Because I think so often we don't count our blessings, do we, Jen? I mean, we just take them for granted,
right.
I guess. Do you think?
Right. Because sometimes when most of the times being like our nature as being a human,
yeah,
we just recognize God when something happened really good to us.
Right. That's right. And so often when we're going through difficult times, we don't see those as blessings.
Right.
We see that we are being targeted or persecuted or God's mad at me, and that's not the case. Dr. Angel, you want to talk about that? Because I think a lot of people feel that God is up there with a great big club, and he's ready to pounce on us when we mess up.
I agree with you. I think there's a lot of people that see God that way, and that's not how God works. There's no example of God doing, you know, that's not God's way. His way
right.
is love, and he's a good, good father, and I think that's how a lot of people miss him. I think when we get in the human and God's working and he's working in the supernatural, we want a human explanation for what's going on. And when we can't get one, we try really hard to figure it out.
We want a human explanation
for the supernatural that God is doing in our life.
I think that's so true.
We want to believe it's something we did or we deserve when good things are happening.
Aha, uh-huh, because we've been good.
Exactly.
Good. We've stayed out of trouble. We've been living right and all those things, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's how we miss him so often in our life. We're not looking for him.
Why aren't we looking for him?
I don't know. I think sometimes we want to believe that we deserve it and we get the credit because it's something
right.
we're doing.
Okay. I agree with that because I think our society is based on punishment and reward a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You can probably speak to that, Doctor.
Well, yes, I agree with you. And, you know, one of the most misquoted verses I get in the counseling room is God helps those who help themselves.
Right.
You know, and there's not even a verse in the Bible,
but
people believe it's there and
they
believe that they have to do all of the work for themselves to help themselves instead of they need to do the possible and believe God for the impossible.
Right. And so often God wants us to just back off and stop trying to fix it. Mike, you want to comment on that? Because I think that's a problem with human nature. We try to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're created in the image of God.
Right.
It talks in the Bible that he has eyes and ears and
right,
fingers
sure.
and stuff.
Sure.
So with that being said, down through the ages, people that used to know the Lord or had parents or someone that taught them of the Lord,
right.
that we're created in his image.
Yeah.
So those of us who do things, they glorify themselves. Look what I done. Look who I am.
Right.
And really, God done it because he's going to touch somebody's life through whatever they may have think that they're taking the glory for.
Exactly. And I think it's so prominent. It's a human tendency to try to be noticed for some good deed, right?
Right.
Jen, do you want to comment on that?
Well, sometimes people they wanted to be glorified of doing good deeds. But I think as the Bible, there's a scripture in the Bible, don't let your right hand tell your other hand what you're doing.
Right.
So it's kind of like don't shout what you're doing good to others.
Right. In other words, do it, that's fine, but what's your attitude in doing it? Is your attitude to be noticed or whatever? I find this so interesting that Jesus chose to disguise himself as he's walking along, because I think he wanted to hear the impression that these disciples had of the events that they had just gone through over the last week. And it says in verse 16 of Luke 24, their eyes were held, this is in the Amplified, they did not recognize him. Okay? So in verse 17, he says to them, what is this discussion that you're exchanging, throwing back and forth between yourselves as you walk along? And they stood still, looking sad and downcast. So picture these two walking along. They're having this intense conversation. I can't believe Jesus is gone. He's dead, you know, whatever. And when Jesus asks them, what are you talking about? They look down. They're sad. They're downcast. Because in the natural realm, their leader was gone. He was dead.
Right.
He had been crucified. You want to comment on that, Angel?
Well, yes. I mean, right. You're looking at through the human eyes of the natural realm, like he was their leader.
Right.
I think he was their hope of,
yes,
you know, the salvation of their nation, of everything. I think he was their friend. He was their confidant. He, you know, performed miracles. And like they left their lives for him.
Right.
And now he's gone. I mean, the devastation they must have felt.
Oh, absolutely. And it says here they were looking down, sad and downcast. And they were like just standing still like, you mean you don't know this awful thing that's happened? You know, they're just still in shock, I think, almost, Jen. I think these two were just standing there and like, how could you not know about this awful thing, right?
Well, I think it's not just the two of them that have that kind of feeling. I think the whole people that was viewed what happened to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I think what they were trying to explain that, because he performed a lot of miracles.
Sure, right.
No one was going to do it again. So
right.
They were like really, you know.
Oh, they had to be devastated.
Devastated.
Yeah, I mean, totally. That this was like, how could this be?
Right.
So he says to them in verse 17, what is this discussion? Verse 18, then one of them named Cleopas answered him, do you alone dwell as a stranger in Jerusalem and not know the things that have occurred there in these days? Mike, they couldn't even believe that this guy started walking with them, had no clue what they were talking about. Like, well, everybody knew.
It would have been totally unexpected.
Yeah.
To even have the faith to believe that it would have been Jesus with them, because they saw him killed and put in a grave.
They saw it. They saw
that, that would have been the last thing they would have thought, that he would have come approach them and he's alive.
Even though, when you go back in the scriptures in the book of Matthew and other gospels, he tells them many times, you know, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be, you know. And I mean, he told them in plain language three or four times or more. Go ahead, Angel.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, but here's the thing, in our human nature, if something is not happening to us in the moment, we don't bookmark it and categorize it. Like, we don't hold on to it. Just like when reason why we have our shows on our other on Go Yard that are titled and tagged, because, you know, we might be doing a show about anxiety, but if you're not struggling with it, it's not going to mean much to you.
Sure.
Then when the event happens, all of a sudden now that means something to you. So I think because they were just kind of discounting it because that wasn't their moment. Their moment was watching the miracles and performing and the preaching and, you know, all the things that they were being a part of as the ministry with Christ.
Absolutely. And they really did think that Jesus was going to be a political leader, did they not?
Yes.
There are several indications of that in the Gospels, that they thought he was going to take over and establish Israel as with a government, and he would be in charge of that government. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the government was on his shoulders, but they didn't understand that that did not mean a physical, earthly government, right? So I think what we're saying is that so often, God is there working. We're going to do the song Surrounded by Michael W. Smith. So, Dr. Angel, would you... Two things. Would you mention about Michael W. Smith's live concerts now and how people can access those? And also, would you explain what this song means and how it applies here?
Sure. So Michael W. Smith, every Saturday night, he is doing live concerts. You can catch it on his Facebook page or on YouTube Live. And it's at 6 o'clock, I think, our time. 5 or 6 o'clock our time, but they're posted. And you can watch them after the fact because they'll be on YouTube and still on his Facebook page. And they're about 30-minute concerts, and they're wonderful. It's just a time of worship around the world is what he calls it.
Wow, that's fantastic.
You know, and this song, I think, is a really powerful song. This was my song when I was going through cancer. Like,
that's right, it was. We sang this many times.
Many times.
For you.
Because, you know what? Sometimes the battle just gets so overwhelming, and it feels so overwhelming, but knowing no matter how overwhelmed I feel in the flesh, I am surrounded by him.
And I think that really goes along with our theme today, do you see him? Because a lot of times we may not physically see him, obviously, right? But do you see him working in your life? Do you see him surrounding you with people that are helping you, you know, deal with whatever you're going through? You had a lot of people that came to surround you.
Yes.
A couple years ago when you went through this terrible crisis.
Absolutely. And surround me and in love and in prayer and encouragement.
And make fun of your wigs.
Make fun of my wigs. Make fun of my scarves. But
we did. No. We did, Jen. We
but,
did.
You know,
we're
it's
so
true.
Sweet. We were so sweet to her.
They were. They're sweet. But the truth is, our battles do feel overwhelming. This COVID situation can feel really overwhelming.
Oh, this feels terribly overwhelming to so many people, don't you think?
And so sometimes we use our human eyes and we're just focused on what's happening around us. You know,
yes.
Maybe we're not able to work, or we're not, our kids are home and we're having to teach, or we're having all these life changes. And that's overwhelming, but we have to remember that he surrounds us the entire time.
He surrounds us. In the children of Israel, as they were being led to the promised land by Moses, there was, what, a cloud by day, right?
Mm-hmm.
To cover up the sun, to keep them able to walk. And there was a pillar of fire by night, so they knew where to go and how to get to where they were going to keep walking. That's like keeping 3 million people walking. I'm sure there were times where they took naps and all that. But still, there was God's presence surrounding them, basically, and leading them forward. And one thing we want to get across today is God is here in the midst of COVID calamity. Amen. He is here. Mike, you want to comment on that before we go to the song? He's not left us.
Yeah, he's, you can't see him.
Right.
But he works on your behalf on
yes.
the things that you can't see and the things that you ask. So he is there when we don't see him.
He is definitely there. And so we believe that, and I quote this almost every Sunday, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, Jen, can God get good out of this somehow?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think it's also the way of God telling us that you can lean on me, you can
yes.
rely on
yes.
me, just trust in me. And
that's right.
Everything will gonna be okay.
Absolutely. If you know this song, sing
this
along.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles.
Praise and worship. Hey.
This is how I fight my battles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Yeah! It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
It may look like I'm surrounded by you. It may look like
I'm surrounded by you, Lord.
Oh yeah. It may look like
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It only looks like it.
It may look
like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our
battles.
This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our battles.
Praise God. This is how we fight our battles. We realize that God is right there surrounding us no matter what we are going through. And what these disciples on the road to Emmaus were going through was a lot of discouragement and sadness and defeat and questioning and fear. And I think a lot of people, Mike, in this time that we're living in right now, this very, very difficult COVID calamity time, I think there's a lot of people that are questioning God. Why did you allow this to happen? This is not God's doing. This happens with the world we live in. There are viruses. There are germs, there are bacteria, there are all kinds of things like this. But a lot of people blame God for things like this, you know? You want to comment on that, Mike?
Yes, they do. And even though we can't see him, he's going to protect us. He's going to even protect the unbelievers. And the good thing about it is, even though it's meant for bad, the Lord will get their glory in the end.
Amen. You know, he does, because in the midst of these struggles that we go through, God is always behind the scenes, you know, working. I don't know if any of the three of you were ever in any theater productions in school. Were you, Angel?
Mm-hmm.
I was too. Were you, Jen? Yeah, you did?
Yes.
Okay. So there's always people behind the scenes, stagehands, right? There's always people back there. There's usually a director. There's usually people telling you, okay, you're up in 2 minutes. You get ready to get on. Then you're going to say your lines or sing your song or whatever the case may be. But there's somebody that's back there kind of engineering things. Angel, you want to go with that?
Sure. And you can't see them. They dress all in black so that the audience has no idea that they're back there maneuvering props or getting wires and stuff ready to move people and things around. And it just makes that whole production look seamless to the, you know, the eyes that are looking on. And, you know, God works like that in our lives. He's a presence. He is there. And we might not see him there, but he is there. Our ability to see him does not change him being there or not. He's there.
And when we can't see him, there is that inner knowing that God's working. If we will turn that on. Do you know what I mean by that? You know what I mean by that, Jen? If we have our channel open to God and we say, God, today I want you to show me how you're working in my life. I mean, when you ask him that specifically, let me tell you, he's going to show you. You want to comment on that, Jen?
Oh, yeah. If you truly believed in God,
yes,
you know that this things that's happening in our world right now is not his deeds.
That's right. And you know that he did not say, right. I think I'm just going to destroy a bunch of you. That's not how he works.
And most of the people nowadays, I mean, us being on our human nature, we're just reaching God when something's really happening that we don't really expect.
Exactly. Exactly. You want to amplify on that, Jen? Because that is what happens. We so often only run to God when we are desperate.
Right. I mean, a lot of people on social media posting a lot of stuff about God, about thanking God right now. And, you know, that they don't really usually do on their daily living.
Okay, right.
They done this because they want it to get over this thing that's happening to us.
Right, exactly. And so we have to get to a point in our lives where we are open to seeing him. So the title today is Do You See Him? Mm-hmm. Because it's a choice, Mike. It's a choice whether or not we open our spiritual eyes, don't you think?
Yeah, it can be pretty scary. And if you don't have the faith and you're trusting God to know that he'll get us through this, it can be pretty scary. And it can make the unbelievers call on God because they're scared and they don't know what to do. So they know God can do it.
Right.
They don't use him until they need him.
Until they need him.
But they don't worship him like they should. They're not close to him, read their Bible.
Sure.
And, of course, go to church and worship.
Well, and it's when those hard times come, in my opinion, when the hard times come, people do tend to open their hearts just a little bit more than maybe they had, because they may know, oh boy, there's no way out of this mess unless God intervenes, right, Jen?
Right.
Well, comment on that?
Right. I think what it is that we need to really have a strong foundation about our trust in God.
Right.
Because just like what I said a while ago, we're just reaching God when something's really can't fix by us, by human.
Right. And when we realize we can't fix it, we tend to run to God, right? When our back's up against the wall. Dr. Mm-hmm. Angel, you want to talk about that? Because that's human nature.
It is so human nature. Oh, my gosh. I think, you know, it's when life is good, we think it's, you know, we deserve it. You know, we get all the credit. We look at what we're doing for ourselves. And then when we get over our head, then that's when we're willing to say, oh, gosh, okay, God, I need you. So, like, I feel like we deny God his glory a lot when our life is good. We want the glory. But then when we're over the head, we're like, oh, my gosh, like, this is scary. This is serious. Like, okay, we need God. We need him now. Like, they get desperate.
So why did we play that song we just did, Surrounded? Why? Tell us what God can do with that song and that concept.
Sure. I mean, when we are surrounded with things that are frightening us, things that are overwhelming
like this,
like dealing with cancer, like a lot of things can be very overwhelming.
Yes.
You know, we fight that battle. He fights that battle when we're praising, when we're worshiping, when we are opening ourselves up to him and allowing him that place in our life.
Right.
And he surrounds us, and he's fighting that battle in his perfect timing and his perfect way.
And he is such a gentleman that he's not going to step on your free will.
Not at all.
Do you want to address that?
Sure, yes. No, God does not, you know, go where he's not invited. Hmm. He's very much a gentleman, and we do. We have to ask. You know, he's only an arm's length away from us because we're the only ones who can push him away.
There you go.
And so we can bring him back in, but we have to open our heart and we have to open our, you know, ourselves to him.
Right.
But he wants relationship no matter if our life is good or if we're feeling overwhelmed. Like, you know, God is not Santa Claus. You know, he's not out there just to give us all the good things we want. Like, he wants relationship.
You and Pastor Jim were teaching that concept this past Wednesday night in our Bible study at Beacon of Hope, and you put the word relationship on the board.
Yes.
Why is that so important, and how does that apply right now with COVID and everything we're going through? I'm putting you back on the spot.
I know you are. No. God is, he's a relational God. He looks at our heart. Like, and there's so many, you know, times in the scriptures where he talks about he wants our heart. He looks for our heart. We're to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Like, it's our heart. And relationship happens when you give your heart to something, when you give your heart to him. And when you have relationship, let's see here, you want to spend time with them. You want to communicate with
them. Are you talking about the newlyweds sitting at the table with you?
Like, you know, let's take it to the natural. Like, you know, they could say, oh, yeah, we love each other. But if they never spoke in a year, they wouldn't have a relationship.
Exactly.
You know, so that's what grows that relationship is the communication and the spending time together and, you know, the trust that builds when, you know. So that's where God is about relationship. He's about the heart.
He is. And so, you know, when our hearts get discouraged, it's a work of the devil so often to try to get our attention off of the blessings of God, the good things that's going on in our lives, right? I believe the devil works in relationships trying to disrupt them a lot. That's one thing he does, trying to get people irritated with each other. We see this in church. Not a Beacon, of course, but we have in years past, we've seen this many times in people's lives. As a pastor for all these years, I can tell you that one of the things the devil loves to do is to cause somebody to get bitter against somebody else, to get unforgiving towards somebody else, to get angry and not want to settle it. right? Because when that happens, then our attention is on that situation and not on God and what he's doing. Mike, you want to talk about that?
Speaking of relationship, kind of like a parent, and they have a child and they haven't seen them for a while because of the relationship.
Right.
Good or bad, particularly being bad. And they haven't spoken. The parent still loves that child.
Right.
They want to have a relationship, whether their child is doing good or being bad.
Sure.
Or just far away and never communicating. They long for their love and their relationship to talk, to visit, and to have a closer relationship. And God desires the same.
Same thing. Same thing. A year ago, next month, you walked back in to Beacon of Hope after having been gone many, many years. And you were one of those who helped me start the ministry almost 19 years ago. Seeing you and feeling you came up for prayer that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember holding your hands and praying over you. And you jumped right in, and here you are a year later. I mean, whole hog in working in the ministry and bringing your beautiful young wife here with you and all that good stuff. The relationship, even though I hadn't seen you for many, many years, the minute that we reconnected, we were good,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I didn't even remember why you quit coming to church. I still don't know. It doesn't even matter. So, I mean, you just kind of got out of the habit and all that kind of stuff. I remember you said that. But right. You know what? There are people out there who have grown distant from people that they really love and care about.
Well, I think in my case, I didn't leave God, but the way I was taught is like how you guys started out the radio station this morning or today. About God's not sitting up there with a big club
right.
And going to punish you and beat you to death if you've done something wrong. He loves you anyway. He loves
right.
You regardless.
Exactly.
And Christ came into the world not to condemn it, to save it.
Amen.
So what we're trained and what we're taught,
right.
Most of us, that we think that we're going to get a whipping.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you have a child and he does something wrong, you try to correct him.
Yes.
Sometimes he may need a spanking.
Right.
But if you love him,
right.
You're not going to beat him, to kill him, and
not have
a relationship with
exactly.
Him. But you're going to love him. You're going to teach him the right way to where you can continue to have that relationship. And God's the same way. And sometimes we tend to put God aside because we're condemning ourselves.
Exactly.
He's not condemning us, so we don't feel worthy to go to him. So that causes the separation in the relationship.
Exactly. But it just like that day that you came up and took my hands and we prayed together, it was like all those years were, the distance was not there.
Yeah, I've already forgot about them. I feel like I've never left.
Right. And you are just jumped right in and became an active part again, which is so wonderful. Reckless love, Angel, for you. Tomorrow's her birthday. Plus, it fits perfectly right here.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me, and you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me, and you have been so, so kind to me. Felt no worth, you paid it all for me.
so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
The God we serve, his amazing reckless love. He comes after us when we so often run from him. He goes, oh no, no, not gonna let you get by with that. I'm gonna come after you. I'm just gonna love you, you know, and bring you back. And that's how he does. In the third book I wrote, I believe, was the story of my daughter Lori, and I recount in that book about an occasion where I flew 800 miles all across the eastern seaboard to find her. Some of you may remember that story. It was a very expensive journey, but as this mother, I was trying my best to save her from herself. As it turned out, I couldn't do that, and I learned a lot through that journey. But in my attempt was, in love, I wanted her to not repeat some same mistakes. And I think a lot of times God, in his great love for us, is sitting there going, I don't want you to have to go through that again, child. And his reckless love tries to pull us right back. Dr. Angel, you want to talk about that a moment? You know what I'm talking about? Whoa, let me get all your mics on, because you all started singing, and that was great, but I turned you off. I heard you singing, so I had to turn you off.
No,
go ahead.
I mean, his love for us is unconditional, and
it is.
I know we can't fathom that.
We can't.
We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's there, and, you know, he loves us that much. When
that
we feel
much.
Like we are nothing, he died for us.
Yes.
You know, and no matter what we're going through, no matter what choices we've made, he's still there for us.
He's still there.
We can't be too bad for God. Like, he still loves us.
You know,
he's there.
Besides my earthly children, my Beaconite children, now almost 19 years of this ministry, there have been some, like you, Mike, who went away for a period of time and came back. We have two Texas Beaconites who just texted in. The Garcias are listening in Texas right now, which is such a joy. They went clear over there, but they're still a part of us, right? Enrique just texted from Puebla, Mexico, and he's on with us. And, you know, there's no distance. My point is, there's no distance from the love of God, nor from us as we bond with people that are close to us in the spirit of God. You know, there's no distance. Our love for the Garcias, our love for Enrique, all these, the Michigan gang, we've got them all these different states now. And there's no distance. It's like they were right here with us, you know, especially with technology the way it is. But how much more God? And here's Jesus walking with Cleopas and this other disciple and disguising himself. I think he looked like Robin Hood because he had this disguise. Or maybe it was Batman, I don't know. But it was somebody he was walking. He didn't look like himself, that's for sure. But anyway, we're going to talk more about that in the next hour, and we're glad you're joining us here on Living the Good Life. We have an prayer ministry that is amazing and wonderful, and Betty and Pastor Jim, Betty in Grand Rapids, Michigan, not right here, Pastor Jim here, they take those prayer requests that come in, and some days the prayer line is just like crazy. It's just popping all day long. Some days we can go a day or two and we don't get it, but it's so much going on. We want you to be a part of that. If you want to be a part of the prayer team, just send an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com, and they will make sure that your email address gets on the prayer team. Why would they want to do that, Angel?
Oh, because you know what? There's always someone available to pray with you and agree with you. And 24/7, you can send in a prayer, and there's a team of people agreeing with you. You know, and the Word of God says where two or three are gathered, you know, He's there. And distance right now, and right now when we're feeling lonely and isolated, this time is more important, I think, than any other time in our lives to reach out in that prayer of agreement with people.
And when we form that bond with somebody, when you're praying with people, I mean, because we have prayer meetings, we have them on Wednesday night, it's 5:15, we have them on Sunday morning, we have prayer meetings different times. Prayer is a bonding thing, don't you think, Mike? When you're sitting there praying with people like we do on Wednesday night, we start at 5:15, it's crazy good. It's crazy good.
And you know, when we have our time with the Lord, sometimes to get into His presence, our mind has us thinking all kind of other things. And that little devil, he'll be sitting on his shoulder, sitting on your shoulder, and he'll tell you, God ain't listening. You're too far from God.
Uh-huh.
He can't hear you.
Right.
To discourage you, to keep your mind off Him and meditate on Him, He hears everything you're saying.
He certainly does.
Even when you think He can't, or you're too far from Him, or you've been gone too far from Him, He don't hear your prayer.
And that's a lie of the devil. And let's bring up 1 John 3:8 that I quoted this morning in the sermon in the Facebook post, I think, or maybe in the YouTube post this morning. 1 John 3:8 says that the Son of God, which was Jesus, came into this world to destroy the works of the devil, right?
Right.
And the word destroy in the original Greek is L-U-O, luo, which means undo, unfasten. And I gave an example of you know, I tie my shoes twice, you know, so that I don't step on them or they don't come undone and I step and fall and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you have a shoe that's tied in two or three knots, it's not going to come undone unless you take the time to bend down and undo all those knots, right?
Right.
And so Jesus came into this world, it says in 1 John 3:8, to undo. The word there is luo in Greek, which means to dissolve or untangle, is what it means, the works of the devil. So we get all tangled up, Jen, in all these things, you know, worries, anxieties, fears, this stuff of COVID. We can get all tangled up, can't we?
Yes, absolutely. Because I believe that after all this, I was just wanting to quote that rain, that song that, after all the rain, there's always rainbow and sunshine.
Oh, that's cool. And that's true, right? And that's true. Because God's working it out. We got another hour coming up right now. We're very excited about it. Before we get to that, so send your prayer requests into prayers@bohmglobal.com. Angel, you and I and the board members, we worked very diligently on our brand new website. Do you want to talk about that and how they can access it? And it's not a revamp. It's a brand new.
Yes,
and we threw the old one away. I mean, it's not even, it's brand new.
Yes, yes, and it's gorgeous, and it has lots of great pictures of us.
Of who we are.
Who we are, of our wonderful, beautiful building, of what the ministry is doing, and of our partnership ministries in Puebla, Mexico.
Yes.
We have an encouragement and prayers page on there. We have a page on there where people can now give through the website. They can access, they need to get a hold of mental health counseling, they can access me through
the website.
You
have a page on our website.
So,
and your counseling business for people out there, this was a dream that we we believed together about this, didn't we?
Yes, we have, for many, many years. Like, God set this dream in my heart, like, over a decade ago. In fact, I have the original journal entry of when this was, like, seeded inside of me.
Wow.
So, yes.
And that was before you had two of your master's degrees and one of your PhD degrees and
yes,
all that, right?
This
was when you were in process.
I was in process when this was planted, and nothing looked like it was going to happen that way. And, you know, God's timing is always perfect timing, and partnering up with my business, partnering in with the ministry of the church, and it's just been an amazing thing to watch God healing so many lives.
It really is. You're packed, you're full. But her number is 727-501-6557, and you just acquired an intern, which is coming your way soon, which is going to help your business and help everything. But guys, if you need godly counsel, and I mean not from necessarily a spiritual perspective, although I'm sure you bring that in.
Absolutely.
But just, you're a psychologist, you're a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor. 727-501-6557. It's Dr. Angel and I that have the Go Yard Show on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. right here on this station. So we got a lot going on in the ministry. So what we've been doing, this is kind of a blessing that's happened from the COVID, because we were not doing Facebook posts for a while. We did them for a while, and then we quit doing them for a while. And now we start the sermon with that, and with a, well, however long-winded I might be at the moment, part of the sermon. And then we also have YouTube going at the same time, two different cameras, don't we?
Yes.
And starting next Sunday, we got something very special that's going to be added to this, which we're going to tell you in just a minute, as soon as we get past this station ID. But she mentioned giving. If you want to give to the ministry, tithes and offerings, go to our new website, bohmglobal.com, bohmglobal.com. Go to the giving page. It's secure. It's Subsplash. It's powered by Subsplash, which is the big group that most of the huge churches around the United States use. And even though we're not huge, we use the same platform. So you can go there and it's secure, and you can give any tithes or offerings that you would like to do. You are welcome to do that. We would love to have you be blessed through that. Hang on.
Water.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.